Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Grill Room. On today's show, a new record on the LPGA Tour, also some real problems for the USGA with the Walker Cup team, and we'll take a look at the third leg of the playoffs on the PGA Tour. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka. With me, Mr. Inside in the world of golf, Alex Maselli, who I'm sure still reeling after the poor showing of our Walker Cup team. I know you're in England. I know you got an opportunity to play a little golf. Aside from the outcome of the matches, Mr. Maselli, have you had a good week?
It hasn't been bad. It's pretty hard to not have the outcome of the matches color your vision of the week, though. We just were so outplayed. It was ridiculous. And, the reasoning is such that I don't think the players really understand the difference between playing links golf and links weather and playing, golf in the United States in decent weather. And we were not only ill-prepared, which I don't blame the captain for, but just didn't have the game, didn't have the shots.
And from some of the comments that I've been able to catch up on, Alex, being on this side of the pond, there seems to be a lot of focus directed at the fact that the USGA is rather stubborn in putting two mid-amateur guys on the Walker Cup team, and it's obvious that they're not going to be as good as somebody that's just out of college and playing high-level golf, not on the mid-amateur level.
Well, I mean, first of all, I know some people, we brought this up every 2 years when the USGA puts this together. It wouldn't have mattered if it was you and me on there, Bob. We would not have won. We would have lost by the same amount. I mean, it was not a mid-am issue. Let's put it this way. It wasn't the reason. The mid-ams being on the team did not make the difference. The difference was that we had guys that just didn't know how to play in these conditions. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you take Scott Harvey and Mike McCoy, Scott Harvey's, I think he's 32, 33, something like that. Mike McCoy is 52. On Sunday, they were leading 2-up through 13 holes. Okay? They were playing the Irish kids, Dunn, and I can't remember who the other kid was. So Dunn is the kid that was in the final round of the Open Championship in the last group. So it wasn't like they were playing, two has-beens. And it wasn't that Dunn and the other kid played well. Is the fact that Harvey and McCoy just made mistakes down the stretch. Now, anybody can make mistakes down the stretch. They were certainly in that match with no problem. So I don't have a thing with the mid-ams being the reason. The reason was is that when, and you know this too, you'll see there's one way to do things right when you're playing links golf. When you got a 130-yard shot, and I saw Bo Hostler, who is so impressive in every condition. I saw Bo Hostler 135 yards into a par 5, third shot, with the wind in his face. He had a knockdown 7-iron to 3 feet. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't see hardly any Americans even attempt to hit a knockdown shot in the conditions we had on Saturday, which was the first day, which were very windy and very difficult. I mean, they just put the ball in the air. And then when they get around greens, what do? They take out wedges. Now, I've seen one person with a wedge in his hand around greens in these conditions win an Open Championship, but that was Phil Mickelson. And I'll tell you right now, not one of these kids is Phil Mickelson.
All right. I got a lot more than I bargained for, but that's just a little sampling of what we're going to talk about later on in the show when it comes to our discussion of the Walker Cup matches. Remember, this is your show, so if you have any ideas or comments for the show, just drop an email to menu@thegrillroom.com.
The Grill Room is proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military, as well as our veterans, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
So you're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfBlot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio, and, as Alex said, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be headed overseas for our first stop as we go around the world of golf. I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. 2015 PGA champion Jason Day agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. It's an honor for us to have you as a listener. Time for a trip now around the world of golf. Alex on the LPGA Tour. Let's begin in France. Evian Masters. Lydia Ko sets the record. Youngest player to win an LPGA Tour major. 18 years, 4 months, 20 days. But the manner in which she did it. 63 in the final round. You got to be kidding me. I mean, do we have any idea of the talent that we're blessed at watching in the form of Lydia Ko?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we're spoiled for so many reasons. I mean, we're spoiled when we saw Tiger Woods. We're kind of spoiled now with Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth. You know, we remember the days of Annika Sörenstam and, you know, Lorena Ochoa. So, you know, I think we're spoiled just in general. What we have to see is as she continues to blossom and continues to play better and better and win more big events, then maybe we'll have a better understanding of what we're seeing when we see Lydia Ko play.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we talk about that impressive victory, let's hear what Lydia Ko had to say.
No, it's a great feeling. I mean, today's been unbelievable. You know, I put myself in a good position going into today, you know, over the last couple of days. And, yeah, you know, I just focused on my game. You know, Lexi was playing, you know, really great golf, you know, hitting good shots to the pin and, you know, making a lot of great putts. So I just said, hey, you know, I just got to focus on, you know, one shot at a time. And, no, yeah, it's been so amazing. And, you know, I said before that my goal coming into today was to make par on 18, and, you know, that's still not accomplished yet. So I'll be back next year to do that.
Well, you heard her there, Alex. She said she had to maintain her focus. I think that's pretty good maintaining. 8 birdies, no bogeys, 63 in the final round in a major. Pretty amazing stuff. You know, these girls, they seem young in age, but not inexperienced. They're starting earlier. I mean, Lydia Ko, she turned pro young. And now she's as comfortable as anybody that's teeing it up in any event on the LPGA Tour, and she's 18 years old.
Right, and I think this is all what we used to talk about, Bob, back in the day when you were suggesting that these girls shouldn't get on the LPGA Tour. You know, I've always felt that if you can play, you should be able to play. And now you're seeing that, you know, they have tremendous games at this level and this age, and I think that just gives them, her in her particular case, it just gave her the opportunity, for she's been playing for a year now, just gave her the opportunity to make her game even better. So, I mean, that's why she's now doing things like shooting 63 in a final round of a major.
And one outstanding aspect of the Lydia Ko golf game, and I truly admire her for this, is the other girls on the and the other ladies on the LPGA Tour. She is well-liked. I mean, despite the fact that she's a superstar and is getting most of the attention, all the other girls seem to really like her, and I think that's a huge tribute to Lydia Ko.
Well, I mean, it's hard, I think, to get adjusted in the situation. And, you know, I mean, you're meeting people that you looked up to as a kid. I mean, let's be honest. You said at 18 years old, you know, 6 years, 5 years ago, a lot of these players were still out there, and she's 13 years old. So, I mean, she's used to watching these people play. And now all of a sudden, she's not only playing with them, but she's beating them. So it's a hard dynamic to kind of get her, you know, get your head around when you're a young kid like that. So I think that she's doing well, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this continues to progress, because I don't think we've seen the best of Lydia Ko yet.
Well, I have to, boy, if we haven't seen the best, I don't know what the best is. I mean, I just marvel at the way she hits a driver. Her iron shots are so precise, and when she gets that putter going, there's just not stopping the Ko. Congratulations from the Grill Room, Lydia Ko. Job well done. Let's go to the web.com tour, Alex. Finals time on the web.com tour. 25 cards have already been awarded, finishing in the top 25 on the money list at the end of the regular season. Now another 25 are up for grabs at the end of the web.com finals. Pretty interesting method they're doing. I was really opposed to it initially. I was a huge lover of Q School, but the more I watch it unfold, this seems to be a pretty good way of doing it.
Well, I think it certainly gives the best player a chance to get their card. And I don't think that was necessarily true in Q School. In fact, we used to kind of fantasize about how this person we never even heard of found a way to get over through six rounds and get their PGA Tour card. And the next year they won't be on the PGA Tour. So I think this is a better way. I think the unfortunate thing is that a lot of these kids that get their cards through the web.com tour, if they're far enough down, they really don't have a chance to play a lot. And that's something that the tour needs to figure out. But that's another story. Sweden's Henrik Norlander shoots a course record 10 under par 62 to win by 3 over South Korean's D.H. Lee. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I know I've heard of Norlander, but I didn't even know he was still playing. And then all of a sudden, here he is. He wins the Hotel Fitness Championship, and he's on top of the web.com priority list, which is pretty special, because if he gets this far and you win, you're gonna get your card. I don't know where you're going to be in the list, but you're definitely going to get your card next year.
Well, congratulations to Henrik. A job well done. On the European Tour, 23-year-old came through in flying colors.
Yeah, Thomas Peters from Belgium in the KLM Open. I don't know if you knew this, Bob, but Peters played at the University of Illinois and is part of it now, what is a Belgian connection of kids coming from Belgium and going to with Mike Small over to the University of Illinois. So that's pretty big. It's the second win of the season. He won a couple of weeks ago at the Czech Masters. What's interesting is that the other guy that won after the Czech Masters, Slattery, was also in the mix, the Englishman. So either one of those guys winning would have won two consecutive events, because Peters didn't play the week after he won the Czech Masters. So pretty big win for Peters. It gets him in a pretty good position going into next year. And now all of a sudden you think of a guy like this, if he's won twice already this year at the age of 23, you know, is he a guy, we've tried to talk about this amongst ourselves, but is he one of those guys that might show up on a Ryder Cup team next year? Because we believe that there's going to be about three or four guys that haven't played Ryder Cup before, probably going to be on that European team. And Thomas Peters is surely showing that he can do it, winning twice and winning a big event in the KLM Open.
And probably three-quarters of Belgium would show up to watch that Ryder Cup if they could get a player on their team. Okay, it was a week off for the PGA Tour. Now we come back to the Walker Cup. We talked about it at the top of the show, but it really could be called a rout. And it seems to be, somewhat embarrassing for us to lose that bad, 16.5 to 9.5. Were there any standouts on the U.S. team at all, Alex?
Well, Bryson DeChambeau was clearly a standout. He probably would have played four matches, Bob, but he only played three because of a neck issue. He was 2-0-1 in his three matches. And then Bo Hostler was 3-1-0, I believe it was, in his four matches. So those two guys were clear standouts. Bo Hostler was very impressive, and so was Bryson. Both of them played really, really well. Outside of that, the other eight guys, there wasn't anybody that I could have hung my hat on and said played, you know, terrifically. I think that Robbie Shelton played okay, but outside of that, that's it. And it's disappointing for many reasons. I think part of it is just the fact that they just didn't seem to have the ability to do what was necessary. And I don't want to say they were outmatched talent-wise, because I don't think that's true. I think they're outmatched talent-wise in this environment. If you would have played this in the U.S., it might have been a different outcome, but they just never had it.
What about on a GBI team? Anybody that really caught your eye?
Not really. I think Dunn played okay. I think Hume, another Irishman, played okay. But not really. You know, and if you look through the list of GB and I players over the last like six or seven Walker Cup matches, and you look at the U.S. players, it's just not even close. As good as the Americans are comparatively to, you know, GB and I mean, Rory McIlroy is certainly an exception to the rule, but Jordan Spieth played Walker Cup as well. So it's hard, I think, harder for these guys because they're younger, too. When they come out, they're also younger. A lot of them, no college experience at all, even though Paul Dunn played at UAB for a while. But most of them have no college experience, so they're really coming out much younger. I think, you know, the other thing we have to remember is going on paper, this team was a better ranked team, meaning the U.S. team, in the amateur rankings than the GB and I team. But if you realize the fact that outside of this team, the guys that didn't play for the United States that would have been eligible for this team, which includes Patrick Rogers, Justin Thomas, Ollie Snyder-Johns, and Jordan Spieth. Those four would have been on this team if they would have decided to stay as an amateur after and go all the way through their senior years of college. So, you know, there's that part of the equation as well. But the bottom line is that their guys got it done and our guys didn't, and that's always the case. Europeans do it when we play Ryder Cup. We have that problem in other ways as well, and we'll see what happens to Solheim Cup this week. But, you know, we have to show up, and we have to adjust, and we have to get the job done, and we just did not show up, and we did not have the game to beat these guys on their soil this time around.
Alex, before we put a bow on the Walker Cup, I've been hearing some grumblings about the selection process for the U.S. Team. As I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a mysterious committee that makes the selections, and nobody knows what basis they make the selections on. In fact, I'm not even sure anybody knows who the committee is.
Well, I don't know who the committee is, even though I've inquired. The committee likes to be kept, you know, in the dark in regards to us, or keep us in the dark in regards to the committee. And we have no idea what their criteria is, why they pick who they pick, why they do what they do. I mean, even, you know, there's, like I think we said earlier, there's some questions about the mid-amateurs that are playing this time round, Scott Harvey and Mike McCoy. Well, I can tell you that when they were picked, there were some questions on if one or both of them should have been the guy. Now, Scott Harvey had won the mid-am last year, and Mike McCoy had won it 2 years ago. But Mike McCoy's 52 years old. You had guys that had played better. Todd White and Nathan Smith had won the four ball, the first ever four ball, USGA four ball, this year. So you had two guys that were mid-ams that had won recently, the most recent win of a USGA event, and weren't even on the team. Now, someone said to me, he said, well, there was this four ball. I go, yeah, you know what? We got our, you know, rumps kicked in foursomes, because that's all they play is foursomes and singles. I said, you know, playing with somebody and relying on them is a huge thing. Getting that kind of experience and getting used to that is a huge thing. I would have much rather the guys that won four ball this year than taking two other guys that won mid-ams by themselves.
Well, I have a brilliant idea on how this Walker Cup team situation can be rectified. I think we need a task force. That's what I think we need. We need a task force to convene at Far Hills, New Jersey, and get to to the bottom of this losing. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfBlot.com. Heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be back with our news and notes department when we return.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Ricky Fowler agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Alex likes this segment. Our listeners like this segment. They find out a little about what's going on inside the world of golf under the news and notes category. And let's begin right off the bat, Alex. Any word on any of the guys that played on the Walker Cup team that on either side that might be turning pro in the short future?
Well, I will tell you that I know Bryson DeChambeau was going to turn pro after the amateur if he hadn't gotten to the finals. Because when you get in the finals, you get all these benefits, which includes Masters, U.S. Open, Open Championship exemptions. And so Bryson at this point is going to go, I think, at least to the U.S. Open. He may go all the way through the year. It's unclear, but he's not turning. I had heard something about Bo Hostler, even though he said he wasn't sure that what he was going to do, but I had heard something about the fact that he might try Q School as an amateur. That's certainly a possibility, so we'll have to see what happens with him. On the GB&I side, at least two guys that I know are turning pro, and I know what they're doing. One of them is Paul Dunn, who we talked about earlier. He is going to join Foursport as an agency. He's going to go to Q School at the end of the month, and he's going to start his European Tour career at the Dunhill, which will be in October. And then Garth Moynihan signed a contract today to turn pro with ISM Sports, which is Chubby Chandler. And he is on his way to Milan to play in the Italian Open. That will be his first start of the of his professional career. So that's what we know so far, and I think things will start trickling out as we go along.
All right, let's move along. And, Alex, you were in flight last week when the President's Cup selections, captain's picks were made. Just curious if you have any thoughts. First, on the international team, Nick Price picked Stephen Bowditch, who won the AT&T, Byron Nelson, and South Korea's Sangmun Bae. Any thoughts on either one of those?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bowditch was a great pick, actually. I think he played well. He's played well not only this year, but the year before. I think he's a solid pick. I think it was a good decision by Nick Price. The thing I don't understand, I always believed that they needed to have a South Korean player on the team. But I think An, who has won this year, meaning this calendar year, and in a big event, he won the BMW on the European Tour. He was higher ranked both in world ranking and in President's Cup points than Sangmun Bae. So I was kind of interested to see why that was the case and why Nick went ahead and took Sangmun Bae, especially along with the fact that there's all these issues that surround Sangmun Bae when he gets there. I mean, technically, and this is what's going to be interesting, technically, he's a fugitive because he did not come back and he was supposed to. So I don't know what all this means. When we get there, it could be quite interesting. I talked to the tour briefly about it, and they believe everything is fine, you know, but I wouldn't want to be the guy rolling in South Korea not having gone back when they told me to. Phil Mickelson, I have no problem with. I know there's probably some people on the other side of the pond here in the U.S. that's kind of wondering why. And the thing I will say is, if you look at the U.S. team, even though there are some older players, experience-wise, there's not a lot of experience in President's Cup or even Ryder Cup for that matter. So I think Phil is a great equalizer in that way. And Bill Haas was no question. He was 11 on the list. That makes all the sense in the world. You can't believe, Bill Haas got pretty much hosed last year in the Ryder Cup. He was on the team and then not on the team. It's a long story, but Bill Haas is a pretty good player. He was 11th on the list. I don't have any problem with that at all.
Well, I was very comfortable with Sang-moon Bae getting picked because I felt that all the, law enforcement people in South Korea, all their attention will be on Sang-moon Bae. I was worried that it might shift over to you, and then I'd be auditioning for a new partner here on the Grow Room team. All right, let's move on. Tiger, Rory to play in Fries.com Open. That's going to be a pretty good event. First official event of the 2015-2016 PGA Tour season. Going to be played there in Northern California. Wow, I bet there's going to be a lot of gallery.
Yeah, it should be pretty interesting. This goes back to an agreement that they made to get an exemption to play in Turkey a couple of years ago. Then they couldn't play. Anyways, bottom line is that's what this is all about. I also believe that Rory and Tiger are playing together in an exhibition match in China the week after the HSBC Champions. I know Rory's not playing at the BMW in China, and Tiger's not either. So they're going to play in this special exhibition in China, which they've done before. So I know that's going on. And as long as we're talking about players playing places, I believe that Bryson DeChambeau is going to get an exemption in the Australian Open, and he's going to go there. Rory was announced today that he's going to be playing in the Turkish Open for the first time in, I think, two or three years. So he'll play Turkey, then he'll play HSBC, and then he'll take a week off. So there's a lot going on in the fall, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what guys will play in what, because as we've learned now, the fall is a little more important than people realized.
Yeah, you got to start getting those FedEx Cup points as early and as often as you can. Our next item on news and notes before we wrap it up, Justin Leonard. He's opted to take his one-time career money exemption to play on the tour in 2015-2016. Want to wish Justin Leonard a ton of luck. A real talent, winner of one major, the Open Championship. Looking for some of that old magical form that he had.
Well, you know, I think he's playing better. It's hard because Justin Leonard is, what do you say? He doesn't have the same length. He doesn't have the same game as what's required today. But when we were playing golf as we knew it 20 years ago, 15 years ago, Justin Leonard was perfect. So, he's getting older, he's getting adjusted, and hopefully he can keep his card for next year and get himself in position to when he finally gets to the Champions Tour. But, you know, Davis Love won a couple of weeks ago. So, I mean, if Davis Love can win over 50, Justin Leonard can win.
And I think he drew a lot of inspiration from Zach Johnson, whose game is very similar to Justin Leonard. We'll take a look at what's next on the schedule after this short break. I just want to remind you, you're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfBlog.com, heard on TuneIn Radio, and, of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Rory McIlroy agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
We promised we'd deliver. What's next on the schedule? Let's begin, Alex, on the European Tour and the Italian Open. And before we talk about the Italian Open, got to say kudos to the two fine contestants in the Women's Open, Women's Tennis Open, both being from Italy. Congratulations to them both.
Yeah, and how about the one she wins and then she retires?
Yeah, I mean, pretty amazing stuff. I will say this much. The semifinal match between Vinci and Serena Williams was as gripping, as gripping a sporting event as you could ever hope for. It was simply amazing.
Well, you know, when I went to go bet the before the matches started, the USA over GB and I in the Walker Cup, I said, well, let me see what the line is on Serena winning the Grand Slam. And he goes, oh, there is no line. She lost.
Oh, you wanted to bet she lost, even though it happened already. I know you.
Well, I didn't know. Well, we're completely different over. It's just too much stuff going on over here. But, it's like that movie Wimbledon. Did you ever see that movie Wimbledon? Where
no.
the guy decides that he's going to play his last matches are going to be at Wimbledon, and he wins the thing, and he still retires.
Smart man.
Yeah, smart man.
All right. Bring people up to date on the Italian Open.
Well, the Golf Club de Milano, which is great. Henriotto won last year. I'm assuming the Molinari brothers are there because it's kind of part of the requirement now on the European Tour. But it's a great event. It's just timing is kind of bad, kind of late in the year. But we'll see what happens. And I said earlier, Gareth Moynihan is going to be debuting his professional game in the Italian Open this week.
Well, we'll wait and see how he makes out. Now let's jump over to the web.com tour. Second event in the final series, Small Business Connection Championship. That's being played at the River Run Country Club in Davidson, North Carolina. That's in the Charlotte area. Web.com tour. Going to be a big event down there.
Well, every one of those is big. I mean, if you don't play well one week, you better get it out. You better get it on in the next week. So it's a big event for all those guys trying to get their cards for 2015-16 season. As we all know, Bobby, the LPGA Tour is in Germany with the Solheim Cup, which will be played this weekend. And, I don't know, we can run through the names, I guess, but we won't know most of them. Suzanne Pettersson, Anocia, Charlie Hall, Melissa Reed. You know, Charlie Hall is another one you talk about. I mean, a very, very young player. Annika Norquist, Araza Munoz, Sandra Gal, Colada Sinada, Katrina Matthews. Is it Katrina? No, it isn't. Who is it? Yeah, Katrina Matthews, Karen Eicher, Caroline Mason, and Caroline Hedwall. Now, I wouldn't say that that's a team that you think is going to beat up on the U.S., but, I'm not sure how good the U.S. team is, Bob.
Well, we're going to find out when they get to Germany. Of course, the U.S. team headlined by Stacey Lewis, Lexi Thompson, who just finished second. All eyes are going to be on Michelle Wee, see how she plays. Morgan Pressel, Angela Stanford, just some of the more popular names. Of course, Paula Creamer also on that team. Now, let's get to the PGA Tour. The playoffs resume after a week off. This week, it's the BMW Championship. Only the top 70 in FedEx Cup standings are in the field. Going to be played at Conway Farms outside Chicago on the North Shore.
And, we would normally say, we got Jordan Spieth, the number one ranked player in the world playing, but Jordan Spieth is now the number two ranked player in the world, and Rory McIlroy jumped up by, a smidgen. And then we got Zach Johnson, Dustin Johnson, and finally Sergio Garcia has decided to to deign us with his presence in the playoffs, decided to skip the first two, but will be at BMW this week. Top 30 make it to the Tour Championship, and there's so much involved when winning, getting to the top 30, including exemptions in all the majors, the World Golf Championships. It's just it's a huge thing. You want to get in the top 30. So a lot of guys got a lot on the line this week at Conway Farms.
Yeah, and of course, they all want to get down to East Lake. And I heard from Reese Jones. He said it is in fantastic condition. And that's where the PGA Tour FedEx Cup Finals will be played. $10 million to the winner of the FedEx Cup.
Well, that's all for this week. You've been listening to The Grill Room. Heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfBlot.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and, of course, on our website, TheGrillRoom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, to Ion Loop, and TheGolfBlot.com. So for Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.